Hello everyone, welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Your host, Paula V. I'm so excited to share with you just a fantastic gentleman that does so much for so many with his productions, his film work. Let me share. I have today for you John Wayne S. III. John is a storyteller, producer, and director. Over his 20-plus year career, John has built a solid foundation in multiple aspects of the industry. He has amassed an unsurpassed level of experience and skill that makes him an invaluable asset in production. Whether working as a freelance or staffed producer, his fiercely unique work draws the audience into the stories and scenes of his productions. I'm so honored to have you here today, John.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Paula V. I appreciate your interest in my film.
Oh, I just love it. And I'm so thrilled that I had the opportunity to watch your latest film, Red All Over, which you will share with us. Let's start out, John. Please just share with the listeners a bit of your history and what brought you to the path you're on.
Well, initially, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. That was my goal, was to be a doctor. So when I went to college, my major was biology, and I had a minor in political science. So the idea was to, I figured by the time I got out of medical school, all the baby boomers would start to retire, and they would want to move into these really great retirement villages. So what I was going to do is put my name on these retirement villages, and I was going to parlay that into a political career so they would vote for me. I didn't really have necessarily a plan or agenda, but I figured that they would vote for me just because they were familiar with me. So the summer when I really started to look at medical schools, I got a call from a production manager that said that I had, she said I called, but I really honestly don't remember. This is before internets and cell phones, things of that sort.
Yes.
She said, I left a message to work on an independent film. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about film. She's like, yeah, I got your message. So we talked back and forth. And at the time, I really didn't have anything else going on. And she said, it was for a second assistant director's position on an indie film. So I went in to talk to the first assistant director. I had like a suit and tie on, you know, because I didn't know what you need to do. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, he realized that I couldn't help him do anything on film because I knew nothing about film. So about a week or so later, she called me back and said that the guy really likes you, but obviously you can't work with him because you don't know anything about film. But I have a production assistant assignment open in the art department, which would be interested in that. She told me that they were working 16 days, 16 hours a day, 6 days a week for six weeks straight, and the pay was $50 a week. And for something inside of me said, yes, I'll do that, because I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So the film I worked on was called Scenes from the Soul, which was director George Tillman's first film out of film school. George Tillman went on and did all the barbershop movies, Men of Honor. I mean, he has a very long list of really great box office hits. But during this time, he had just got out of film school, and, you know, he was a struggling filmmaker just like, you know, the rest of us at the time. And I went on to work on that, and I met another guy who didn't go to film school either. He went to this community workshop. And he, during the time when people wanted to do music videos, they either went to New York or L.A. There was nobody in all these other, you know, places where they are now. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we were going to start a production company doing music videos. We had no idea what that really meant, but we were going to do it. He had a cousin who was a music producer who knew another guy who needed a music video done. So we go and talk to the guy. about doing a video. He said, well, let me see some of your work. And he said, well, we don't have any work. He said, well, how do I know you can do it? He said, you just have to trust us, we can do it. Little that be said, we did the video and it was a really big hit. So we started to really start doing music videos. So that was my initial entry into doing filmmaking. It just kind of happened. I really was not trying to do that to produce films.
And now you're in many, many years of this work. That is so fascinating. Yes. I love it. I love it. Well, John, let's talk about your most recent film, Red All Over. I absolutely loved it. It just went to my heart. Beautiful film. Share a little bit about that and why you created that film with the listeners, please.
Well, the process of doing Red All Over was a collaboration with my writing partner, Seth Black. We were trying to figure out, I've been doing commercials and music videos, things of that sort, for like the last 20 years or so. And I probably should have done a music video, a movie some time ago. But I couldn't really find a subject matter that I felt really good about or something I felt like I can be compelling enough to bring to the screen. So after talking with Seth and coming from Chicago, because I'm really from Chicago, we thought about doing something around gun violence. Now, although it was very prevalent in Chicago, it wasn't such a big thing as it is today and how people are just talking about it. It was something that me and her understood the importance of the subject matter, but it wasn't such a big thing today. So I went into this not with just looking for a social issue that really connected with us, but not understanding how it really is affecting mainstream media and the political process at this particular point. She was also friends with, there was a girl, Adia Pendleton. She was the young girl who went to Obama's inauguration. And she was in the marching band, and she went there to his inauguration, and then the next week or so, when she went back to Chicago, she was at a park and she got killed. So it was like this big uproar about that. And Seth was friends with the parents. So initially the story was a connection. It was outreach to her parents to, almost say, we need to draw attention to this particular matter.
Yes.
So when we started to write it, it really was a dedication to her, and it just kind of blossomed into something else much more.
Yes. The movie, it just touches the heart. And what a beautiful thing to do, as a dedication to her. And it really opens up the view of when something happens. There's a whole picture here. There's what may have started this process and why that came about, and then the suffering that happens because of it. I mean, it really encompasses a lot of feelings and emotions and information. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. I always ask you this question after they looked at it. What was the thing that really drew you into the story?
I would have to say, even before it progressed to the shooting, my heart went out to the young man, Red, because it showed his life's challenges, what he went through. People were really seeing it, but not getting involved, and how it affected him, his frustration, and then the shooting. So it just really pulled my heart in from the beginning of the movie, because it's so real life. You know, everyone out there has challenges and has things, and a lot of times people feel like there's no one there to see it or to help them or acknowledge it.
Yes. The tagline for the movie is, before you choose a side, understand both. And I really try to convey that.
Yes.
People, when it comes to gun rights, gun violence, things of this sort, everyone has a point of view. They all have a story. They all have a reason why they feel one way or the other. But a lot of times what keeps us from coming to the town of a reasonable solution or even a discussion that is rooted into some type of solution, people don't really listen or understand the other person's side.
Yes.
You know, so I really try my best to convey both sides of it.
Yes.
From the shooter and the victim's side. I really try to show their life and the struggles and things they were going through, what compelled them to do so. Why would the girl go to the park? You know, her father, what was going on in her life and things that people deal with every single day. And we're so connected with each other. If people understood how connected we are, just as a race and as humans, I think that will keep people from doing a lot of different things. But they don't really understand the connection, how we all are connected together. And then it makes a difference to the things we do in our daily life.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. Such wisdom, John. You are so correct. And what you accomplished with this film, I just recommend to everyone, all of my listeners, please watch this film, because you did. You accomplished that, John. It was really an amazing message, and I'm really grateful. I'm afraid, everyone, we do have to pop out for commercials, so we are going to take a quick break, and John and I will be right back. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with John Wayne S. III. John is an amazing film producer. He's produced over 200 music videos, 70 commercials, and a variety of media projects. We were just discussing his latest film, Red All Over, which I absolutely loved watching. It really touched my heart, and I recommend everyone check it out. So, John, I would like to begin with, please share with the listeners how they can look into seeing this film and more of what you do.
Okay, well, the film is currently doing the film festival route. It's played at quite a bit of festivals, and the way you can find that out is to go to our Facebook page. It's very easy. If you go into Google and type in Red All Over Film, you pretty much find everything about the film. But the Facebook page is Red All Over Film. You can follow us on Twitter, which is more of a social discussion about the film and gun violence and things of that sort, which on Twitter, it's Red All Over Film. And you can go to the website, which is www.redalloverfilm. So I made it very easy for everyone to find it. If they just type in Red All Over Film, they will be able to find all the social media links and the website.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And John, tell us about any future productions you have in the works. What's going to be your next project?
The next film I'm going to do is a film called Run, Rabbit, Run. It's actually a murder mystery. It's about a serial killer who's killing these young boys in the Montrose area in Houston. And we explore the mental anguish of people and when things happen to people and their ability to go and really enact things on other people's lives. So this guy, he's a serial killer. Some things happen to his past, and he's not able to get over it. He's not able to deal with it. And so he goes to try to seek revenge and kill these people. So it's very intriguing. There are lots of twists and turns in it. I'm doing this film was written by Matthew Roberts, great writer. I'm honored that he is allowing me to bring his visuals to life.
Oh, fantastic. And John, you really create these films. You really touch on everyday life, things that people go through, things that we can all, you know, see and realize. I just love that. It's just so human. Red All Over, it's just such a human story. That must be very fulfilling for you.
Yes, I can't take all the credit. It's part of this, my writing partner too. we have a very good talent of making people feel the words and visually see them as they read them, even just in text, not just so much in visuals. And if you read something and you can see it in your mind's eye, then it makes it so much easier when you try to bring the, you know, visuals to life. So I have to, I've been writing with her for over 10 years, and I have to say that it's every single time it's been a success. So I'm hoping that we can translate that into more films. I'm hoping that we can translate it to other things, some other projects that we're working on, some television things, to really get people to not always want to be entertained, but also think. I'm really big about getting people to think about the things they're doing and think about the direction they're going to when you're telling stories.
Yes, yes. I love that. Not only entertaining, but giving us something to think about. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 or 10 years with what you're doing? Doing more, getting more into television, or just sticking with the movies and the documentaries?
Well, 10 years ago, I changed the title, the name of my company to London Town Pictures. It used to be JWS Productions. And the reason I did that is because I had done so many music videos and commercials that when you go and try to do television or film and they look over my gamut of work, it was like, well, you just do music videos and commercials. So I needed to change the direction of the company to encompass a larger thing. So London, which is spelled L-O-N-D-Y-N, is named after my daughter, London, London Grace. And so I changed the name and changed the direction so we can do film and television. So in the next 5 years, we're hoping to have at least 2 other television properties and at least 3 other films to be done. And I'm really hoping that with the acceptance of Red All Over, that people, you know, start to become fans and followers and willing to support the other films and projects that we do.
Yes, I love it. Well, I know myself, I am now a great fan and look forward to being a follower of.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it, because I always tell people all the time in life, every time someone says yes to me, that means they said no to someone else. So I have to be very grateful and gracious about the opportunities that are presented to me, because people don't have to go see my movies. They don't have to, you know, look at my television or read my scripts or things. So they make a choice. And when they make that choice, that means they choose to not do something else. So I am grateful that I have done something to allow you to become a fan, and now that you will be open to the things that we do in the future.
I am. And, you know, it resonates from you, John. You're caring, and you're caring about people and, you know, everything that we go through. And that's, you know, that's really a gift to all of us. I really have to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you for allowing me into your mind and into your heart.
Oh, thank you. So, John, what words would you like to share to the listeners, for those that are now aware of your films and can follow you and watch your films and take that in? Any words of inspiration for them, just what you would like them to receive from watching your films?
One of the things I do want to, independent filmmaking is a daunting task, and a lot of times it's a labor of love. Independent films don't always get the attention that they should receive, because obviously the Hollywood and big budget movies have, you know, a big marketing pitch to really draw people into looking at their movies. Independent films allows people to think outside the box. It allows them to address subject matters that traditionally the studio system may not feel like it's safe to do. So I encourage people in the process, because we're right in the middle of the summer season, we're right in the middle of all the big budget movies, that although you're taking in those movies, because I'm a fan of all those big movies myself, also take an opportunity to look at independent films. Because if you all don't support them, then you'll be stuck with just one way of thinking. Allow media to to allow you to open your mind up to things that you traditionally would want to without someone else having an agenda behind it. My movie doesn't have an agenda. The only thing that it's talking is that let's have a discussion about gun violence, mental health, and bullying. Let's discuss those things. And I'm not trying to get you to buy any particular toy, go to any particular restaurant or any of those things. I just want you to open your mind up to other ideas and that may improve the human race, your own life as an individual, and all the lives of people around you. So open your mind up to independent movies and go see an independent movie this weekend.
Oh, I love that. What a powerful message, John. And that's true. We tend to, people get drawn in to the big box office movies, and really there are the independent films out there that are being created that can do so much to bring those into our library. You know, it is easy to forget about that. I think that's a great message, a great message.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that.
Yes, and I am, as I said, I am a big fan now, and I really, really put out there to the listeners to check out this film and check out everything you do. And, you know, what you're doing, John, is just, it's a service. It really is. It's a service for mankind.
I also encourage people to, you know, even though they'll go to the Facebook page and they'll like and they'll follow us on Twitter, to engage with us. Express your views about, in this particular read over, express your views about gun violence, express your views about bullying, you express your views about mental health, not just like the page, because people go and they'll like the page and they're following, but they really won't engage. And the whole point of the movie is to engage people, to get their minds talking and thinking. Because we never know, those ideas that you have in your mind, that might be the onset of solutions to the subject matter we're talking about. So don't just follow and like the pictures, but actually engage in the conversation to get things rolling so we can find a solution to gun violence and guns and things of that sort.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And so I can connect with the Facebook, and I can also share that, can't I, with my Facebook followers.
Just you sure
to
can.
To have that grow.
You definitely
can. Yeah. Have that grow. Create those waves. Oh, I just love it. I am just so thrilled to have connected with you, John. And I would love to have you on the show again when your next film comes out as well.
Well, thank you very much. I definitely appreciate it. We're going to probably doing a theatrical run this fall at a couple of, at least about 5 or 10 markets. So definitely connect with us online on Facebook or Twitter, or go to the website so you can be updated of all the new markets so we can be coming to you. And if you have a market that's not listed and you want us to come to your city, just drop us a note, either Facebook, Twitter, or by email at info@readalloverfilm.com, and we can see if we can make that happen.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, John, thank you so much. I'm afraid our time is up. I'm so grateful to have had you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking out the opportunity to have me to listen to my story and allow me to express it to your fans and your audience.
Oh, I'm honored, and I'm grateful for what you do. And to all our listeners out there, I'm grateful that you're with us today. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone. Happy day to everyone. And John, love, hugs, and blessings your way. Happy day.
All right, thank you. I'm more happier now that I've had this conversation.
Yay! Yep, I as well. Thank you, everyone. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. To Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. I'm excited to share with you today a dear friend of mine and Reiki energy sister. I just adore her. She is going to chat about what makes her happy, what motivates her, her wonderful services, what she does for others. My guest today is Victoria C. Leo. She has master's degrees in both biology and psychology, as well as being certified in hypnotherapy for autoimmune diseases. She is a Holy Fire, Karuna, and Yasui Reiki Master Teacher. She has helped her clients blast through barriers to their heart's desire through her complete programs for over 19 years. And I will let her share more of her services and what she does with you herself. I would like to say welcome, Victoria.
Oh, it's so great to spend time with you, and it always is. So
thank you.
So good to be back here.
I love it. I love it when we have a chance to chat.
And I love the topic. One of the things, it's so funny that just this month, I did a series of articles in my local newspaper. You know, those paper things, people still read them.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people do read them online too.
Yep.
But on the subject of joy, right?
Yay.
And so yeah. And what is the first thing that people think about when you're happy or you talk about joy? Absolutely, the first thing people say to me is, "Oh, your life must really be going well." Right? We've got this belief in this culture that you can't be happy, you can't be joyful unless there's some external cause, right?
Huge statement, Victoria.
Yeah. And the first time somebody said that to me, I was living in North Carolina, and I was giving free lectures at the local library, right? And somebody said to me, "Wow, you know, you're always, every time you get up on the stage, you're just so, you know, your joy is infectious and you're so happy. Things must really be going well for you." You know, and I said, "You know, actually, I just moved into town. I know absolutely no one. I don't have a business set up here in this new town because I moved to North Carolina when my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Right? I sold my house. I closed down my business. I left everybody I knew in California and I moved to North Carolina. So, you know, it's like my mother has Alzheimer's. I don't have a job. I don't have a business. I don't have anything." You know, but you know, the sun is shining.
Yes.
Right? Which actually happens in North Carolina, not in Washington, which is one of the places where I currently live. Yeah, and it was like, you know, I don't know why I'm happy. I know I'm alive. The sun is shining. There's all these wonderful people here. And, you know, and there are coloring books in the world. And thank God I can afford real high quality art pencils and a coloring book. Okay?
Yes.
I've got food. I've got a roof. Yeah, you know, what else do I need to be happy? You know, there's green forest all around, there's ponds, there's ducks, there's, you know, and no matter where I've been, you know, in the decade since that, you know, that experience in North Carolina, I'm in Southern Oregon and in Western Washington right now. No matter how many people I meet, it's the same mindset. You know, the only way you can be happy is if you have a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you'll find somebody who says, of course I'm happy. God loves me, you know, or, you know, or my, you know, I've got food. I got a roof over my head. I've got, I've got people who need me, you know, I've got, at this point in life, I've got a business, you know, and my mother has passed on. And, you know, so there are lots of external reasons to be happy. But in this series of articles that I just wrote, I was explaining to people how to generate joy, right? You find little pockets of time, right? Turn off the television. It's really funny. I haven't had a TV in 10 years. I'm not ignorant. I've got a newspaper, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
An actual paper newspaper. Wow. What a concept. I've got the internet. I've got, you know, I'm, you know, I've got YouTube. I mean, I know what's going on in the world. I just don't spend time with television. When it's time to relax, I do things that actually generate joy, right? I exercise every day. I've got coloring books. I've got like 20 coloring books. I've had coloring books my whole life. I mean, we're talking adult coloring books. Dover Publications, D-O-V-E-R. Oh my God. If those folks ever go out of business, I'm going to be in big trouble. They have the most complicated, gorgeous coloring books.
Fun.
And you know, and I take classes for fun at Coursera, which is so much fun. And you know, so that's what I do with my time. I crochet, not only I make my own clothes, I make gifts to friends, but I started a group at my church where we make comfort items for people who are recently bereaved or have to go into the hospital, because we're even adults, right? When we have something that makes us sad or scared, it's nice to be able to hug something. I put Reiki symbols in it, so people get all this healing energy, all this calming joy, right? They get this joy because they're through the master symbol, they're connecting with me, and they're pulling Reiki through me to heal themselves, basically. You know, but just knowing that somebody cares about you, right, can bring you joy.
Yes.
You know, and there's all, and I've, in one of my books, Take Back Your Lost Heart, I've got an exercise called dumping the garbage. And I tell people, dump the garbage. Sit down in your journal every single day, no exception, and go, I'm angry, I'm scared, I'm this, I'm that. Just get all the emotions out of your body. And then end up with, I am grateful.
Oh, I love that, Victoria. No,
and seriously, there have been times in my life when I sat there and I stared at the page and I couldn't think of anything to be grateful for. I mean, I got, you know, like, I've got food to eat, I've got a roof over my head, and then I stalled. I got, you know, it's like, because my life was so horrible. And so what I did was, you know, the only thing that occurred to me was, well, I don't have cancer. I'm grateful. I don't have Parkinson's. And the thing is, like you said, I've got a degree in, you know, medical stuff, you know, so I could have made 20,000 entries of diseases I didn't have. But after 10 of them, I just started laughing. You know, I was in the middle of, you know, physical, emotional hell, and I'm sitting there laughing because there's at least 10 diseases that I don't have. I was like, so what am I worrying about?
You know, I'm not going to die next week. Everything is, you know, all the negatives out there that we're afraid of, and realizing that isn't a part of our life. My gosh, that is something to be grateful for.
Yeah. Well, the big part of my life, you mentioned hypnotherapy at, you know, and you mentioned especially for autoimmune diseases, but I use hypnotherapy to blast away the unnecessary barriers. You know, and there are some things we just can't do anything about. You know, you've got a disease, you use the absolutely best of modern medicine, the absolutely best of alternative medicine, and there it is. You know, it's maybe it's getting better, but it's not going away. So there are some things you just can't blast away. But what my goal is, it's so much, it is easier to be happy if you don't have these unnecessary barriers in your life. And sometimes people have had trauma in their life, right? They've had difficult circumstances, and that, you know, and that the damage that it did to their psyche is still alive, and I can clear that away so that they can bubble up with joy naturally.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, because that, you know, that's our natural state. You know, our natural state is also to be sad when, you know, when we're sad. You know, we don't have to, you know, try to be happy at our beloved grandmother's funeral. Okay, you know, let's be reasonable. But you know, the full range of emotions is healthy. But I want people to be happy as much of the time as possible, and that's why I've got these programs. I've got programs for physical pain. I've got programs to blast away weight or smoking, or why is it I walk in the door and I start fighting with my wife and kids, right? You know, I can get rid of all this mental garbage that we're not aware of. You know, all my education and experience,
it's,
you know,
just with us.
I'm good at clearing it away, right?
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, when you have cleared away all the stuff that doesn't need to be there, then you've got more energy, more enthusiasm, more joy, and then it's easier to make lists of all the fun things you could be doing with your life.
Yes.
You know, growing a vegetable garden and taking classes on Coursera. And I teach for free at my local senior college.
How fun.
Yeah, and I have so much fun, you know, teaching subjects. I teach anthropology and writing. I do writing classes and, you know, because I'm an author, right?
Yes.
And I've studied writing and I've studied publishing and all this stuff. So, you know, so I love spending time with fun people talking about stuff I love. So that's my fun. That's part of my fun time.
Oh, I love it, Victoria. I love it. We do have to, I'm afraid, pop out for a break.
Of course.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. We will be right back, everyone. Thank you, Victoria.
You betcha.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paul Levy here with Victoria Leo. Oh my gosh, we are having so much fun. Great chatting with my friend Victoria. Victoria, you all always have so much great inspiration to share. Before we dive back in, could you please share with the listeners your information, your website, how they could contact you?
Absolutely. My website is soaringdragon.biz. That's B-I-Z, not .com. Soaringdragon.biz. I also have a Facebook group called Healing Minds, Healing Bodies. And I have, I do a lot of cool stuff on Pinterest. And I also have a YouTube channel with a lot of really good videos. And then that is Human Bio, then the number 4, everyone. So Human Bio for Everyone with the number 4.
Fantastic. I love
it. Lots of cool videos.
Well, so many of the listeners out there, I receive a lot of emails from people that are, you know, on their own path, creating their own business or their service, they're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. What words do you have for those listeners, Victoria?
Well, one of the things about being an entrepreneur is that the whole success of the venture depends on you. And, you know, a lot of people are who do a fabulous job at their specific work, right? And then they go into entrepreneurship. And especially when you're in startup mode, 75% of your time is spent selling and marketing, which is a different skill, right?
Yes.
So in order to do that, what people do is they plunge into taking classes on, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? And they stall. They stall because there are one or more barriers, real serious walls inside their own head. And I want to, at this point, please dispel any concept in your mind that somebody who's got, you know, these barriers in their psyche is negative or is less than. No, what's going on inside of your head is the result of your childhood and your other experiences and things people have said to you and the books and the movies that you watch and all that stuff. Who cares? It's there. It's in your way. Get rid of it. So I've got a program called Turbo Entrepreneurship, Turbocharge Your Preparation. It's a special program where we get into you deep and we clear out all the garbage that is going to prevent you from getting out there and just, you know, knocking them dead with the marketing and the selling, right?
Well,
you can learn the skills, but if your energy, your enthusiasm, and a lot of people say, oh, well, excuse me, my intentionality is going to pull me through. No, it's not. It's really not. You know, you've got stuff going on inside of you. Stop being ashamed of it. Just get rid of it, right? And then for the experienced entrepreneurs who occasionally get stuck, or they're trying to do something new in their business and they're finding themselves caught up, or they're barely making it by, they're not really making as much money as they want, I've got a 90-day program called Triple Your Profits in 90 days. And, you know, and I have absolutely nothing to do with the profits. What I'm going to do is clear away this garbage, get you on a very specific self-care program, and everything else will fall into place. You know, if you're on the right, if you've got the right business plan and it's just not working, that's what you need, is clear out the internal garbage.
Take care of yourself first, is what you're saying.
And in addition to, you know, specifically the small business owners or people who are thinking about starting a side business, you know, there's also a lot of people who go into entrepreneurship are just like everybody else on planet Earth. Some of us have health issues, right? So I've got a number of programs that directly target health problems. I have a specific hypnotherapy program for autoimmune diseases and for people who want to improve their immune system function. I've got the hero's journey. I take you on a hero's journey to health for whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, lose weight or, you know, I can make you love exercise. I can. And it's not through manipulating anything. It's just you using the right tools, you know, doing it. I can turn anybody into an exercise lover. I've got another. It's so cool. And for people who've got, you know, got diabetes or they've got, you know, other diseases, other health issues, whatever the health issue is, your brain has a tremendous impact on your body, right? And your ability to visualize, not just, you know, visualizing yourself well, which is fine, it's wonderful, but I can get in there with specific medical images of exactly what's happening inside your body to give your brain an exact, oh, okay, you want the kidney, the glomerulus to blah, 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 blah with the kidney. Okay, so, you know.
Yes.
So your brain goes, oh, okay, I get it. That's what I'm supposed to do. So journal articles published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, more specific imagery gets results. So you know, and it gets results with my clients too. But I mean, I love having, you know, JAMA.
Yes, yes.
Say that it's wonderful too. So, and I've got health problems, how to cure or prevent winter depression without drugs. All the people that are taking antidepressants and all they've got is seasonal affective disorder. I wrote a book, the second edition of my wonderful book, Journey Out of Sad. Second edition is debuting next week.
Fantastic.
It's actually available in Amazon as of today, I think, actually, August 1st.
Fantastic, Victoria.
Yeah, so, you know, you can get an ebook version, you can get a paper version. And I price all my books really cheap. Don't want anybody to ever have the excuse, oh, I can't afford it. Okay? So,
And so that would help.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, people in Washington State. We have awesome summers, but we do have cloudy, dark winters, and I know that causes depression.
Yes, it does. And the thing is, you know, all across the northern tier of the U.S. and all Canada and, you know, half of Europe is suffering. And that's one of the things, you know, we talked about in the first segment. I don't want people suffering when they could be happy,
mm-hmm.
right? There is absolutely no reason to continue suffering or to take powerful antidepressants for a seasonal biochemical problem.
Because you can turn that around. You can
still
be happy and find that happiness.
And by changing your biochemistry.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to sit there in a corner saying, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. You could actually be happy.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's another category of people that I love working with, and those are the folks that really want to do some of this work themselves. They're really focused on self-knowledge. So I've got classes on, you know, exploring your goddess energy, exploring your biological, getting in touch with 10,000 generations of your biological ancestors. I'm doing that class actually just an hour after you and I are done.
Yay!
I'm so excited about all these opportunities to spend time with people that want to understand themselves. They want to understand their patterns. They want to become wiser. They want to, you know, explore all the, you know, they want to learn Reiki. They want to get in touch with their goddesses. They want to get in touch with their 10,000 generations of biological ancestors. You know, not just mom and dad, but we're talking, you know, 200,000 years.
Yes.
And, you know, and people who want to learn how to use writing, directed journaling to understand themselves better, right?
Yes.
All these things, you know, and I've published books and I do these classes. I do them live and I do them recorded. Some of them are on my YouTube channel. Human Bio 4, the number 4, everyone. And I also have a number of classes on learnitlive.com.
Learnitlive.com,
yeah. I've got like 7 classes that I do there, and that is so much fun. The people who are really interested and focused on understanding themselves, not you know, just on general principles, but for a specific reason, because they want to be the best version of themselves that they can be. They want to be the best mother, the best father, the best spouse, the best friend, the best, you know, some of my clients are healers.
Yes.
You know, a lot of holistic healers come to me to clear away their stuff so that they can be better at you know, summoning the angels and so forth.
Yes. We just do so much for so many.
Yeah. Well, you know, all these people, the entrepreneurs, the writers, I've got a program on preventing writer's block. You know, I can fix you up so that you never have writer's block again for the rest of your life. The health, you know, wanting to improve health, crowd, and then the self-knowledge people, right? These three people have a lot in common. That's why I've got programs that are all about the hero's journey, right? The hero's journey to health, the hero's journey to other things, because people who go down the road, people who come to me are heroes, because good enough isn't good enough. They want to be the best that they can be.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. And as we finish the show, what a great statement that is. Be the best you can be. Mm-hmm. What a great thought to put out there.
And, you know, if you're going to invest in something, if you're not going to be investing in yourself, you know, you're going to end up spending money to solve problems that wouldn't be problems if you could clear out the garbage inside of your own head.
Oh, Victoria, just a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm so grateful.
And we're talking about being happy, which is my favorite subject.
Yes, it is. It's a great one. Oh, have a great day. And to our listeners out there, love, hugs, and blessings. Happy day to everyone.
You bet.